I'd like to pray before we start. Father, I want to come to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see us gathered here today, and we are not gathering ourselves together unto ourselves, but we are gathering ourselves unto you. Father, I ask for every distraction to be bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will bring the calm and peace upon the children. That they might hear, that they might learn, that they might receive. Father, I pray for my mind. I pray that my thoughts will be your thoughts. That my emotions will be your emotions. That my desires, Lord, will be subjected to your desires. And that I might be supple in my will in your hand. Father, I invoke the word that you spoke to me so many, many years ago. You told me, if I open my mouth, you will fill it. Father, I will open my mouth and I believe that you will fill it. I pray for the eyes of the hearers. The ears. I pray for the ears of the hearers. That you would anoint them. For Father, we know that it is not the verbalization of the words of the language, but we are aware of the unction and the anointing that is upon what is being said. And no matter what language that may be spoken in or translated to, the Holy Spirit moves to translate it to the soul of the individual. Whether they be little or they be big, young or old. So we pray for our ears this morning, Lord, that they might hear your voice. We pray for the will of our soul, that it might find the strength to endure. To submit and commit ourselves to that which we have heard. For the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. So we ask that our sacrifice be acceptable unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to talk to you again about this little building, this little structure that is called the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a illustration, a visible illustration of the mechanics of what is, of how God has a relationship with man.
Usted viene a esta parroquia con Dios, o sea, Dios, y que le acción, Padre, Satao, usted, la tubería.
It is a detailed instruction. Of what you and I must do in order to have that relationship with the Father. And we need to understand it. We need to know the reality of it. And we have to be willing to put these things into action as obedience to what it is that we understand. I need one for him. It's over there in the box. I need one for him. It's right over there. So it is important for us to understand the reality of what it means to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus Christ, primary function, primary purpose for coming, was to be a means by which we might know the Father.
Hallelujah.
And unfortunately, Christianity does not give us that opportunity of knowing the Father, because we put Jesus Christ as the ultimate or the position of preeminence in the aspect of religion. There is an altar in the tabernacle that is called the brazen altar. The brazen altar is indicative of the offering of Jesus Christ for the sake. He was the sin offering that was given in order to redeem humanity. Hallelujah. But when Jesus committed himself to the will of the Father, and he submitted himself to the death of the cross, and subsequently was judged righteous, and he rose from the dead. He completed the portion or the task that was given unto him. Now that is not just my thought. That is not just my idea. But it is a scriptural principle. Because when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and the blood was running out of him, and when the centurion came to rust the sword through his side, the blood that came forth out of him was deemed righteous by God. The Bible says that any man that hangs upon the tree is cursed. It doesn't make any difference if you are righteous. It doesn't make any difference if you are guilty or not guilty. The act of crucifixion and being nailed to the tree brings a curse upon you. And if you will remember, when they nailed him to the tree, and during the course of his crucifixion, there was a cry that went up from the Lord saying, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Father could no longer look upon him because he had become sin. And you know, the word does not really describe the torture of the fact of what was happening to this righteous man. Because all of the wickedness that is in hell, the pervertedness of it, the totality of its malignant darkness came upon him, and he became, as it were, that malignant darkness. Hallelujah. But it had to be that way. Because God wanted to judge sin as sin. Totally, absolutely, completely, and without any reservation. But there is a little clause in the Bible that says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the blood holds the truth of the character of the man. You know, it's difficult for us to understand it. And I don't know that we really need to comprehend it in its totality. But somehow, the aspect of your actions, your thoughts, the things that you are involved in, there is a record of it in the blood that is in you, as far as the life is concerned. So if you lie, it alters something of the nature of that blood. If you cheat, it alters something of the nature of that blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go back to how it was in the beginning when God ordained the sacrifice of the Lamb. All of that which was given to them in the beginning was a symbol, was an analogy of what it was in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And they would choose the sacrificial lamb the day before it was to be sacrificed. And the night of the sacrifice, previous to the sacrifice,
na sa dili pa mabot ang gabi kung bali sila maghanap ilang susiyon lang katulong mga karero.
The priest would spend all night.
Ang pari magsusi siya nito mga karero sa tibok yung gabi.
Going through the exterior of that lamb, hair by hair.
Siya yung susiyon mayo ang tanan ng mga ang tanan ng bahin sa mga karero.
They would examine the hair. They would examine the skin. They would examine in the ears. They would pick up the feet and look at them. That lamb had to be perfect. Hallelujah. And it was no different than Jesus as a man who was to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. And when the lamb was judged clean, when the lamb was judged to be clean, Israel would pass before the priest. And they would lay hands upon the priest. And they would pass their sin. All of the wrong actions, all of the wrong thoughts, all of the wrong doings. They would pass those transgressions on to the priest. And by the way, that's where we get the principle of the laying on of hands. And the priest, when Israel had unburdened themselves and loaded all of the sins upon the priest, hallelujah, he would take his hands and lay it upon the lamb. And all of the sins that were upon him as the high priest were put upon the lamb. All of that being a representation of the coming of Jesus Christ. To be offered as a propitiation for our sins. So the man had to be beaten, abused, tortured, and made to bleed in many different ways. It was necessary for the blood that was in his being Hallelujah. It was necessary for the blood that was in his body to be loose into the environment in which he was in. Because the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, when that blood begins to go, it is brought before God, the Father. And it is a record.
Mamisya ang istorya o mamisya ang nilatik na mga
of righteousness and wickedness that was ever committed is somehow translated out of the aspect of that blood. And when God saw the blood, and he said, it is a righteous offering. Hallelujah. And that declaration went and energized the man that we know as Jesus Christ. And when he came forth out of the grave, there was an earthquake. Hallelujah! That blood, as powerful as it is, is omnipotent. It's omnipotent. It's all powerful. It has the total composition of what the Father is. Because God, when he overshadowed Mary, and out of him came the germ of life, which impregnated her body. The blood that was in him was not human blood. Hallelujah. And when that blood was loosed into our environment, hallelujah. And when God said, it is righteous, my God, it invoked an energy in the blood that had the ability to redeem you and I. It had the ability to heal the body. It had the ability to rebuke any demon or devil. Because in it was the omnipotent power of God. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ had the living reality coursing through his veins. In his physical body. And when you and I, by virtue of faith, accept the propitiation of sin on our behalf, we become born again. Of life now that is inside of me is no longer human. Inside of that blood is the total composition of the DNA of our Father. Because the blood that was in Jesus was a direct result of the overshadowing foreshadowing of the Father in Mary, over Mary. And when she by faith accepted the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible records the woman's conversation with the angel Gabriel. Now some people have chosen to worship angels. But the angel, no matter how powerful he is, was nothing more than a vehicle carrying a message. Hallelujah. You pick up your cell phone and you call somebody, and when they answer on the other end, you give them a message. Hallelujah. The cell phone and the mechanics behind it is nothing more than a vehicle to transpose that message or bring that message to you. Hallelujah. And the name Gabriel means messenger. One who brings a message. Hallelujah. And it also means one who is sent by the Father. Hallelujah. But with the advent of Jesus Christ, God did away with that source of medium. He no longer needs to use that medium of conveying his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells us there is only one mediator between God and man. And that mediator is the man called Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! It's not the priest. It's not the Pope. It's not the pastor. It's not the deacon. It is via the virtue of the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And that Holy Spirit is under the jurisdiction of the Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I will send to you a comforter. So Jesus was saying that when I go, I am going to delegate. I am going to legislate. And I am going to use the medium of the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is really the only medium we have from hearing from God. And you know, that presents sometimes a problem for us. Because sometimes we are not discerning the voice of God. And sometimes when we hear man speak, we do not discern the voice of the devil. And most of the problem lies in our position, our lack of knowledge of who and what the Father is. Hallelujah. Let me read a scripture to you. If I can find it real fast. Hallelujah. I want to go. To the New Testament. Hallelujah. And I want to go to Matthew 11:27. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's instructing them, but he's also telling them the chain of command. Hallelujah. And he says, all things are delivered unto me by my Father. Now, he did not use the word the Father. He did not use the word the Father. Hallelujah. He used the personal pronoun, my Father. Hallelujah. Well, what does that tell us? Well, if you have an earthly father, and you have a good relationship with that father, or let's say you have a mother and no father, or a father and no mother, it makes no difference. And you have a good relationship, one that you can confide in each other. With confidence that they will not abuse or misuse what it is that you are saying. Hallelujah. So it is a very close, very, very personal. Very intimate type of relationship. Hallelujah. And you know, this is one of the reasons why fathers, should be building a very close relationship with their children. Or if it is just a single parent, a mother, it is somewhat in the same aspect or category. Hallelujah. Your children should not be afraid to be able to tell you anything and everything. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean there's not going to be trouble with them, for them, if they tell you something. But they need to know that you have their best interest at heart.
Hallelujah.
So he is saying here, all things are delivered of me by my Father. That no man knoweth the Son. But the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, the aspect of the salvation that happens by virtue of the blood becomes the medium, becomes the portal for which we might know and fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. There was a man in the Old Testament called Enoch. And Enoch, it is said of Enoch, he walked with the Father. Let me correct myself. It says that he walked with the Elohim. Now, why is that significant? Because when you speak about the Elohim, now you remember, the name is not a designation of a purpose, of a person. It is designated of nature.
Hallelujah.
So as he was walking and talking with the Elohim, he was not just talking to one person.
Hallelujah.
He was talking to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So there was a combination of the working of the Godhead. Now remember, the Holy Ghost is to reveal the Father. It is in the man Jesus Christ that has the revelation of the blood. So he was not only walking with the Father, he was walking with the representation of the righteous blood of the Son. And he was walking with the medium of the Holy Spirit that had the knowledge and the instruction of how to find the Father. Hallelujah! Because God wants us to understand that the process of salvation by virtue of the blood is the beginning or the very essential element and building block that is needed to know the Father. Hallelujah! The door that gives you and I access to the Father. It is shut. It is closed. It cannot be pried open. It cannot be broke down. You can't dig under it. You can't go over it. It. Hallelujah. You must go through it. And to go through it, you have to have a key that unlocks it. Hallelujah. When you are out here in the outer court, there are two instruments. There are two instruments. Where'd that come from? There are two instruments. Two mediums that give us access to the Father. Hallelujah. Means our vehicles, you and I cannot know the Father. We might know about Him, but knowing Him and knowing about Him are two different things. I may know about you. Somebody may tell me your name. They might tell me you're the wife of so and so, and you have this child and this child and this child. I might know your phone number. I might know your address. I might know your address. But that doesn't give me the knowledge of who and what you are. Hallelujah. We go to church and they say, God is this. God is that. God is over here. God is over there. God does this. God doesn't know do that. But we do not know the mechanics behind it. I know about God. I know about God. But I have not yet had the ability to meet Him face to face. When you talk about the denominational system, the evangelical system, the Pentecostal
system,
the Pentecostal system. Hallelujah. There are levels of attainment. There are periods of growth. And those periods of growth are to, for the purpose of bringing us to a point that we might be able to unlock the door between God and man. Because God is not interested in church.
God is interested in relationship.
worship. Many of you have children. You don't know about your children, you know them. If they are doing something bad, you don't have to see it. You can sense it in your spirit. Their body language tells them that they're hiding something. I had a son. And every time he would do something bad, God would speak to me about it. Hallelujah. And I would go to him. I would say to him, son, how you been today? And he said, I'm okay, Dad. But when he would talk to me, he would look away from me. Or he would look down. Now remember, God already told me what he's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm giving him the opportunity to make things right.
Hallelujah.
And I say something, oh really? I say, oh really? And I say to him, are you sure everything was all right? And he starts getting a little nervous and fidgeting a little bit. Hallelujah. And he says, oh Dad, I'm all right. And he starts getting irritated with me. Hallelujah. I know him. I know the thing that is in his life. I know the behavior that he's been demonstrating is not the proper behavior. Hallelujah. And you know, we are to know God in the same way. And the same manner. Hallelujah. Of the outer court experience. This is outer court. That is not my terminology, brethren. That is biblical terminology. What does out mean? It means outside. It means it is divided, it is separated from something else. The Bible says in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Hallelujah. It doesn't say it would be good for you to be born again. It doesn't say you need to be born again. It says you must. There is no getting away from the must. You must have the blood. You must have the blood. That means you have come to the conclusion that you are a sinner, doomed and deemed to go to hell. Hallelujah. And it makes no difference if you are old or young, you will go to hell if you do not have the blood. It was never God's intention just to save you from hell. The evangelical system builds a fence. It builds a fence, and it hinders or thwarts the knowledge of the Father. Because the Father wants to bring you into relationship with Him. Hallelujah. The purpose of the cross is to give you access to the Father. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The purpose of the evangelical system is to get you saved and saved and saved and saved and saved again. I don't care how many times you get saved. If your religion does not bring you to the knowledge or the desire of the Father, it is outside of the will of God. Now, it is not the Holy Spirit that brings fences. Fences divide. Hallelujah. Somebody comes to you and they tell you that somebody said something bad about you. What happens? You start building a fence. You start building a fence. And then somebody comes and says something else that seems to verify what somebody else told you. So you add another row, a block upon that fence. And pretty soon the fence gets so high that you can't even see the person with whom you have been divided from. Who does that? Who does it? That's devil work. It's devil work. It's devil work. It's devil work. Hallelujah. It's not Holy Spirit work. It's devil work. We can allow ourselves to use the life energy to build fences. Did you know that? that. And the fence you build is a much stronger fence than that which the devil or a heathen sinner can build. Because the devil is utilizing the life energy in you for a negative reason, a negative purpose. Jesus said that the tongue has the ability to give life or to bring death. Did you know that? So you, as a born-again Christian, begin to use your energy in a negative way. It is not words that you're speaking. It's spiritual energy. I come to this young man right here, and I say to him, this man over here is a liar. The devil is listening. I'm born again. I have the energy of creation or destruction inside of me. And when I speak the word, a demon from hell takes the strength of that word. And he runs with it to attack the man, to hit him, to pound him. Now how does he hit him? Do you know that man over there called you a liar? Now what are you going to do? Be a liar? How could he do that? I thought he was my friend. Pound, pound, pound. Waiting around me to utilize and to bring destruction. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. God holds me accountable. Because the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Or they are spirit and they're death. Hallelujah. We need to break down the wall. Or even evangelical gospel, our evangelical experience must be disseminated. Hallelujah! My objective is to go from here to here. But to get to here, I have to have the keys. Because there is a door. And that door is locked. And it cannot be entered into unless I have the key to unlock it. Hallelujah. This little piece here is called the gate. This building here is called the holy place. But here, this is called the door. What does your Bible tell you about the door? What does your Bible tell you about the door? My Bible tells me that Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. So, I have to go through Jesus. But he said something more than he was just the door. He said, no man comes to the Father except through or by me. Paul said that we have to put on the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. So the door is also signifying that nature of Christ. It says that the blood, as marvelous as it is not sufficient enough to get you through the door. John chapter 3, right?
Yeah.
Said, you must be born of the water, and you must be born of the Spirit. Now the evangelicals tell you that when you are born again, you have the Spirit of God. What you have is the blood of Jesus Christ. And a soul that was dead is now alive. in water. When I say baptized in water, I don't mean being baptized into an organization. You cannot be a son of God by baptizing yourself to and into an organization. Denominational systems in heaven. When you go to heaven, if you get there, you cannot get in if you're a Baptist. You cannot get in if you're just a evangelical Christian. Because you were not baptized unto Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if we are buried, Romans chapter 6, 6 is the number of man. So Romans is dealing with the operation of God in man and how God makes man eligible for the kingdom of God. Yes. Would somebody take care of these two here? You must be baptized unto Christ. The whole idea of salvation is a journey, is a growth development process. Growth development. Going from embryo to an adult child that is called a son. God does not want Christians in name only. God wants son. Hallelujah. And the process was something that God ordained from the beginning of time. It says in Romans 6 that we must be buried with him in baptism. Well, it says we must be buried in death with him in baptism. That means everything about me and my nature. The family I was born in. The heritage of all of the tribal positions that I am familiar and I got by inheritance. And the aspect of my own natural existence in the geographical location in which I was born. When I go down into that water, that this name, this nature of Bert Asbill is now buried. And the family of Asbill is also being buried. And the nationality of which I have inherited is buried. Water. I am no longer the son of Asbill. I am now a walking, talking, living representative of the family of the Father. Up out of that water, a new, clean, consecrated, dedicated man for the purpose of the Father. For I have a new name written, being written in heaven. Which no man knows except the Father. Hallelujah. And every one of my actions carves a letter, every one of my actions that is righteous before the Father. Carves a letter of that name in that table of stone that is set in heaven. Hallelujah! As Jesus walked this earth, as he was tempted in the desert, as he was persecuted by the Sanhedrin, as he was crucified on the tree, his righteous actions carved each letter of his name. When the devil came to him and said, cast yourself down, for it is written, hallelujah, that if you cast yourself down, the Father will send a host of angels to lift you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. So when he said, get thee behind me, Satan, it is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And every action and every word was marking or carving the letters of his name. Hallelujah. So the man became the man, Jesus Christ. And when he rose from the dead, it was the exclamation mark on the aspect of the totality of his nature. Hallelujah. So, brethren, when we talk about baptism into death, we're talking about tribulation.
Amen, amen.
Trouble that hurts. Trouble that pains. Trouble that causes confusion. Trouble that twists things in our brain and in our emotions and in our desires. Hallelujah. But you have an advocate. You have an advocate.
Amen.
You have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate is the man we call Jesus
Christ.
But you have to be baptized unto Christ. If you were baptized unto a denominational system, you were baptized unto man and his position of denomination. And if that it be the fact, your power and the ability of what it is God has given you is being nullified. Hallelujah. Pentecostal says that you must be born of the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And their actions and their words, though in some essence have a truth, they build a fence between you and the door. Because the goal is not just relationship. It is perfection. Be ye perfect, even as what? Your Father in heaven is perfect. Go to your pastor. Ask him if you can be perfect in this life. Ask him. Go do your Bible study and tell, ask your teacher, can I be perfect in this life? Oh, perfect. You just have to do the very best you can and God will take care of the rest. It is not biblical. Paul said to the, I think one of his churches, he said, I would to the Father be able to present you blameless. Spirit. Spirit. Soul and body. You know what perfection, what hinges perfection? Do you know what is the determining factor of perfection? Do you know what a determining factor is? It is you. It is I will. I will or I won't. That is the determination. determining factor.
Mao na siya ang usa ka pamaagi o grabe kay kita atong ma-determinar atong masagaan o sa pahiluna atong
tubig. You are the authority over your life.
Ikaw ang gitagaan o otoridad pagkahom. Pag dumala sa imong hang, kaugalingon.
Not God.
Dili kay pagsagalan ang
Dios. Not the devil.
Dili ang Satanas.
Because God has given you the tools to fight the devil. Hallelujah. The more you know about God, the more you begin to know God. In your prayers, begin to pray, our my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, pure, holy, absolutely righteous is your name. Let thy will be done. Yes. In this earth. In this earth. As it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Your cry should be, I want to know you, Father. I personally want to know you as a friend and as my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if your commitment is pure, if your commitment is right before the Father, He will give you the key. He give you the key that will unlock the door of communion with Him. The priest, before he went into the holy place, he had to wash at the brazen altar. He had to wash his hands. He had to wash his feet. Meaning his walk had to be righteous. And his hands had to be building the kingdom of God. He put the blood upon his right ear. It means that your ear is anointed to hear the voice of God. Your ear is anointed to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Jesus said, I will send to you the Father, the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you. To lead you. Give me your hand. He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you to the Father. Hallelujah. Step by step, going to lead you to the Father. That's His job. His job is not to give you those little feels that go up and down your back and up and down your arms. Those little feelings that go up and down your back and your hair stands up on your arms. Hallelujah. His job is to lead you to the Father. And as you commune to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you about the Father. And He begins to whisper in your ear the nature of the Father and the things about the Father. And as you hear them, as you read them, as you listen to the Word of God, something in you begins to grow and develop. Hallelujah. And you graduate and you begin now to hear directly from the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know the story of the prodigal son? When the prodigal son came back and the father threw a party and was rejoicing. Hallelujah. And he goes to his father and he says, Dad, you have never once thrown a party for me and my friend. And he said, Son, don't you know all that I have is yours? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why would I want to settle for a outer court experience? Why would I want to settle for a holy place experience? When the nature that is being born within me, developing from embryo to fetus to a mature fat. Hallelujah! I become one. With the Elohim. John chapter 17. Father, that they may be one. I want to go to John chapter 17. And then I'm going to let you loose. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. I love John chapter 17. The promise. The position of God's commitment to man. If I have the, I want to. Did you understand what I'm saying? Your perfection is not dependent on the devil or even upon the position of Christianity. It is dependent upon your relationship with the Father. You have the blood. You have the water. You have the Spirit. And you have the omnipotent of the Almighty Elohim inside. No devil has that. You are the supreme authority in your spiritual environment. Hallelujah! All right, John chapter 17. Jesus, in verse 20. Now let's go up to verse 16. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world.
Versículo 16 na ngayon. Basahin mo libre dito. Ato paminawan, you know, John 17:16. Salimaw sa partito.
I need a Kleenex. Can you open the lid for me? I need a Kleenex.
Okay, Hana.
Kleenex. I don't.
I'll be in Greece, Juan, capítulo 17, versículo 16. Sila, bibig iya sa kalibutan, bisan ingon nga ako, bibig iya sa kalibutan. Wala na sila, pinagin sa imong kamaturan, ang imong pulo, kamaturan. Ingon na ikaw, ipadala ka na ako, gato sa kalibutan, bisan sa imong nakusap, ipadala ka
na. Hallelujah! I just want the one verse now. Says, I am not of this world. And they are not of this world. That means that I am no longer by in the heavenly realm known as Bert Asbill. I am no longer known as an American. So if I am no longer known as an American, I must behave and act as though I was someone else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I, Jesus Christ, sanctify myself. Hallelujah. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. It is not a matter of just witnessing to somebody about God. Sanctification comes by virtue of the sanctification that I sanctify myself with. Hallelujah. So if I have a relationship with Brother Edmar, and I'm cultivating that relationship, the more that I sanctify myself, the greater it works in his behalf. That opens a door and removes obstacles and gives him the strength to be sanctified. So it's not a matter of just testifying that I know Jesus and trying to get somebody saved. Hallelujah. And he says, neither do I pray for these alone, but I pray for them / Filipinos, Americans, Germans, Arabians, Europeans. I do not pray for them alone. I pray for all of these individuals that are deposited in nations around the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they might come to that position, to that revelation of relationship. Hallelujah. That they may be one. You know, the verse says that oneness will be the evidence of Jesus Christ and the Father that sent him. Now, I have a relationship. I have a relationship with this sister right here. The more righteous that relationship is, the more that she knows God, the more that I know God, and the more that we share that position of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's bringing me closer and closer, and her closer and closer to the manifestation of the Son. And the devil knows, if I come to that position of oneness with her, with him, with this one or with that one, hallelujah, he is finished. The devil is finished. So what does the devil have to do? What does the devil have to do? What does he have to do? He has to break the fellowship. He has to break the fellowship. Because when he breaks the fellowship, he breaks the vehicle by which we come, that God might come through and in. God is not just interested in my internal environment. God is not just interested in bringing this element of me into him. Hallelujah. He wants the entity of that element in me to invade my environment. And begin to take dominion over the spirits that rule that environment. We must form an unbreakable link. No matter what the devil does to break it, must not let the devil break it. We must be sure we maintain the harmony and the position of peace and harmony of the Spirit. If we understand the revelation and we come to the conclusion that we have the authority and we begin to wage the war against the devil in our soul, begin to put him under our feet. The presence of God will begin to invade the environment in which we are. Hallelujah. We sing a song. Swing wide, ye everlasting doors. Swing wide, ye everlasting doors of my heart. And let the King of glory come in. That is the cry I hear in the Spirit today. For you, for me, for all of us that desire to be in the Father's presence. God bless you.